Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. Sean McGinnis talking about gaming around the world. Plus on our Power Pundit panel, Jill Derby and Marsha Burke-Bigler, they're on fire. It's all coming up next on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Politics should never come before basic health care, but that's the choice Joe Heck keeps making.
Women like me rely on Planned Parenthood for checkups and cancer screenings, but Congressman Joe Heck voted 10 times to take away their funding.
Heck even threatened to shut down the federal government to eliminate funding for Planned Parenthood. Shutting down the government,
taking away access to life-saving care, just to score political points.
Joe Heck should be ashamed.
Senate Majority PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Sean McGinnis. He is a partner with Lewis Rocha, Roth Gerber, and Christie. All right, I said the whole name.
That's right, yeah.
That's the last time. So a lot of interest going on right now in Japan. Yeah. And the potential for gaming to land in Japan. And MGM talking about potentially putting in $10 billion into a resort there. That's as much as they spend on City Center.
Oh, it's amazing, but it's a great opportunity, and it's very interesting that Japan is actually looking to do this. I was reading that they're going to bring it up to their parliament next week, but just a few weeks ago, it sounded like they were going to wait till their Olympics was passed. But there must be a sea change there where they feel that they can bring this forward, and it's a huge market. I mean, it would be a huge market. You know, they have the pachinko machines, which right. aren't really, you know, slot machines. It's a variant, but you know, a full integrated resort there could probably be a real opportunity, and it's good to hear that, you know, a Nevada company like MGM is kind of in the mix there.
Well, MGM and Las Vegas Sands,
right.
And Wynn has not made an official announcement, but I think the thought is that why wouldn't they want to go in there?
Right, they'll all start competing, yeah.
A.G. Burnett was on the program, the head of the Gaming Control Board, a couple of months ago, and he was talking about how members of the Japanese Parliament had already been to Nevada to visit with him and talk about, you know, how gaming is regulated in Nevada.
Right, and they actually went to the UNLV Institute as well, and they actually came by and visited a few of the law firms and gaming lawyers as well. So I remember when they came by. It's good they're doing the research, because you need to be thoughtful. If you're going to be legalizing gaming for the first time as a country or a state, you need to make sure that you have your goals set forth. It doesn't really suit anybody well to just copy what another jurisdiction did entirely. So the idea that they're doing the diligence and going forward and checking it out is really a good sign.
Grant Govertson, doing his reporting for Union Gaming, is reporting some pretty good numbers. The gross gaming revenue accelerated by plus 9% in the last quarter here. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
So does this mean that Macau has turned the corner? Or is it that Macau has changed from what it was initially, which is all high rollers, to now people actually utilizing these facilities the way the government really wanted them to use them?
I think it's more of the changing. I still think it's morphing towards that, and I think that it is a good sign for that.
But it's interesting, even though a lot of the analysis has been very positive, except for Wynn, which was more like a hold situation because they're ramping up their new property. But the stock prices have not reflected what looks to me like optimism now.
Well, you know, stock prices are always kind of an interesting thing to look at. I mean, I remember in early days of my career, casinos were going into Mississippi, and these public companies would open a new casino there, and you would think that when it opened that would cause the stock price to go up, but that wasn't necessarily true because it actually had more to do with what other things the company was doing, you know, what's their debt ratio, you know, how are they leveraged. So it's hard to tell how that works.
Boyd Gaming in Southern Nevada in particular seems to be booming, and with the sale of their half of the Borgata to MGM, gave them almost $1 billion in cash to be able to keep the company growing. Your thoughts on Boyd?
Well, I think it's smart. You know, it was a win-win for both MGM and Boyd for MGM to get 100% ownership of the Borgata. And MGM's doing a lot of things on the East Coast, and they have, you know, because they have the Maryland property that's going to open next month. They have the project in Massachusetts, you know, so they have some activity there. Boyd, so much not, it was really more Nevada, Las Vegas based. So it was really nice to see that they took that money. You know, they purchased Aliante. They're looking to get the two canneries probably sometime in the next, you know, couple of months once they get through the SEC aspects. But I think it's really good, and it's good for a property like Aliante, which was kind of just operating totally on its own, to be able to leverage some of the other properties and the other expertise that a company like Boyd has. I think that's good for North Las Vegas.
You know, it's interesting because Station Casinos opened the Aliante property
right.
in what was pretty undeveloped territory in North Las Vegas at the time it opened. In fact, they had to help finish the freeway ramps
right.
to get in and out of the properties, you remember.
Right.
They lost that in the bankruptcy. It was the only property they lost to TPG. And I was surprised that they didn't actually end up going back in and grabbing that, because the results from Aliante look stunning. I mean, they're tremendous.
Yeah, they really did a good job at Aliante as a standalone, you know, one-off property. They did a really good job at sort of driving revenues, and it's not something you typically see, because usually one-off properties aren't able to leverage, you know, the customer database and do the marketing the way, you know, the larger companies can do. So I think they've done a good job at that. But, you know, Station is, you know, they have, you know, they have their own plans. You know, they just got approved, you know, last night, City of Reno, to build the property by the convention center without the hotel room. So they're looking to invest in Reno, and I think it shows that, you know, they're trying to diversify, and I think it's good for the city.
I think it's fantastic for the city. I mean, look at all the different northern or southern Nevada companies that are moving into northern Nevada. You've already got Golden Gaming here.
Right.
You've got Marnell Gaming, and
right.
now you've got Stations. They have a little sports book at Baldini's, but now they're going to offer a real resort. It's interesting because they've got the grandfathered license at a time when Reno seems to have enough rooms. They don't need to build the rooms. But I've got a funny feeling, and you can comment or not, but this is my own personal opinion, that the plans that they have publicly announced so far are minimal by comparison with what they really plan to open.
Well, I mean, everything happens in stages. And, you know, they do have that grandfathered turf club license, and which does entitle them to open without the hotel rooms. But it would not surprise me, you know, if that goes as well as Station properties normally go,
right.
and you look at it and you see how that might help the convention center attract people to come to Reno, I think it could be a win-win for everybody, Peppermill, the Atlantis, and then you could see down the road that perhaps Station might build some rooms.
Yes, and if you remember, their original plans were to build 500 rooms on that site
right.
and then have a bridge connecting across Virginia Street to go directly into the convention center as the Atlantis does.
Right.
So I'm wondering if somebody's blowing dust off of those.
You have to remember those original plans were, you know, pre, you know, the economic crisis. So,
right.
you know, that was a different era. So I don't know if you can't just really take those and just say we're going to do this today.
No, well, I would agree with you totally, except for the fact that we've gone through the recession. We've gained more jobs back than we had before the recession.
Right.
The state demographer is talking about another 500,000 people being in the state by 2035, I believe.
Right.
And, you know, we've got Tesla, we've got Switch, we've got all these other companies. I mean, it would seem like this is as opportune a time, but I'm not going to push you any further because we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. More with Sean McGinnis when we come back.
Sully's in Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch NFL and college football. With all-new high-def TVs, including the pop-up, our 17-foot TV wall, and all-new high-def TVs, cold beer, great food, and new TVs, Tamarack Junction.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay?
And you can tell them to go themselves.
You know, you could see there was blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of her wherever.
You got to see this guy. Oh, I don't know what I said. Oh, I don't remember. He's going like, I don't remember.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. What is Switch? The answer? They represent the most dynamic growth industry in the United States today. Data storage, the information of the world. Here they're building the first of many 1 million square foot facilities. It's in their new campus. It's for eBay. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada.
Sully's in Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch NFL and college football. With all-new high-def TVs, including the pop-up, our 17-foot TV wall, and all-new high-def TVs, cold beer, great food, and new TVs, Tamarack Junction.
Closed captioning of Nevada newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, more conversation here with Sean McGinnis, with Lewis and Rocha. So we've discussed the station's deal. Here's something I never thought that I would say, ever. A 4,000-room property in downtown Reno. And now with Silver Legacy, the other half of the Silver Legacy and Circus being owned by Eldorado, and then the purchase of Isle of Capri that's in motion, this turns the Eldorado Resorts into the second-largest regional gamer in the country.
Yeah, it's really a great thing for Reno too, because it'll
mind-blowing.
Because they're going to keep the corporate headquarters in Reno, and so whereas a lot of that it used to be you had IGT and you had some others here, you know years ago, now this is the Carano family coming back, and they're actually sort of bringing that in. And the Isle is they have some good properties in the Midwest and in the South, and they've done a pretty good job, and I think it's a win-win because. You know, the Isle was founded by a guy named Bernie Goldstein who passed away a few years ago, and it's the sons, the second generation, were sort of keeping it going. And I think as it's going down to another generation of estate planning, this is a win-win for them because they can come in, be part of the Eldorado, and leverage, you know, the Carano's experience in operating the properties. I think they've done a good job with the MTR, you know, transaction they had, so they really are able to really drill down into the regional gaming market outside of Nevada.
And when you look at the investors, I mean, it's solid gold investors. These are the major companies that are involved. Is the plan, do you think, and I mean, you don't represent the Eldorado, or at least I don't think you do.
No. But
do you think the plan is to, because that's so many rooms, 4,000 rooms in Las Vegas, that would be okay, but in Reno, that's a lot of rooms. So do you think the idea is to leverage all of those Isle of Capri properties and the other MTR properties to flip people to Reno as part of the game plan?
Well, I think that would make sense. I mean, it's that's typically what you see with the companies. You know, when you look at like when Harrah's was going early on, and they were sort of becoming the McDonald's of gaming by having casinos in every one of the new jurisdictions. What they would do is they would use those new customers and they would bring them to Las Vegas, bring them to Reno. So there's no reason to imagine that the Carano's wouldn't try to leverage that as well. It'll be interesting to see, you know, once this closes, I think it's supposed to close sometime early to mid next year, whether what they do with the Isle of Capri brand, you know, because right now, you know, with the Circus purchase that they had from MGM, they still have rights to use that name. But it'd be interesting to see if they would rebrand that. I don't know if they would or not, but it'd be interesting.
You mentioned Harrah's, which became Caesars. It looks like the bankruptcy is finally getting wound up.
It's been glacial. Yeah,
it's been taking
a while, and it's, you know, and that's just what happened. The stakes are real high, you know, because, you know, they were so highly leveraged, and you had the senior lenders and the junior lenders, and everybody has to fight for their position. But it does seem like they've figured out a way to get everybody on board.
Do you think the figuring out was that the owners of Caesars ponied up another $5 billion to put into the pot?
Well, that helps.
I mean, that really was the helpful portion of the resolution here.
Right.
Do you think that this will encourage them to sell properties? You know, there are people that would like to buy the Rio, but the price has been too high. There are people that would like to buy Reno or the Lake, but the prices have been too high. Do you think that as part of this reorganization, you may see some changing in the pricing structure?
I think so, because part of the reason that the pricing structure, as I understand it, has been the way it was is the way the company evolved. And, of course, that was another pre-recession type deal. So they leveraged themselves at certain, you know, EBITDA multiples. And so when you're looking at what to do with those properties, I mean, how can they, you know, properly divest of them or sell something for less than what they have it leveraged for. So
right.
I think when you go through the bankruptcy, I think they have to get out of bankruptcy, they have to emerge. But I do think there'll be some opportunity there, because there's some assets there that probably aren't core assets, and that they could then, you know, sell to others. There'd be some other opportunities, and there'd be some good opportunities for people to get involved in the Lake and come up here to Reno as well.
You know, it was interesting because MGM sort of went through this, a similar thing, not under the same circumstances of bankruptcy, but, you know, being forced to give up half of the ownership of Borgata, but setting the price so high for their half that nobody could come in and purchase it, and then in the end they end up taking out the whole thing.
Right, right.
quick question for you. Fountainebleau. Do you see anybody coming in to buy that at this point in time?
Well, it'll be interesting. I mean, that of course, the history of that property is so... I'm not sure when there actually really was a casino on that property last. I mean, because, you know, the Fontainebleau, it seemed like that was moving and it all stopped. Before that, you had some companies trying to build, I think, a country music-themed casino, and then I think there was also some timeshare people that were trying to do something. I mean, hopefully someone can come in and get it, because there is some... Because if they don't do something soon, then I think you're going to have to implode what it is and start over.
Ooh.
And that would be bad.
$3 billion or plus down the drain. All right, that's where we're going to leave it. Sean McGinnis, always a pleasure. I have 100 more questions. Come back soon.
Okay, thanks,
all right?
Sam.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Politics should never come before basic health care, but that's the choice Joe Heck keeps making.
Women like me rely on Planned Parenthood for checkups and cancer screenings, but Congressman Joe Heck voted 10 times to take away their funding.
Heck even threatened to shut down the federal government to eliminate funding for Planned Parenthood. Shutting down the government,
taking away access to life-saving care, just to score political points.
Joe Heck should be ashamed.
Senate Majority PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Catherine Cortez Masto's negligence left thousands of rape kits untested and rapists on the street.
In other states, they've convicted hundreds of rapists by testing these kits. But Catherine Cortez Masto failed to act.
And when she did act, Cortez Masto voted to allow murderers out of jail early. She even pardoned domestic violence abusers. Don't let Harry Reid force another political failure on Nevada. Senate Leadership Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
I'm not your spokesperson. This is an important message for anyone who took the prescription drug Xarelto or Pradaxa and had a serious bleeding event. If you or a loved one took Xarelto or Pradaxa and suffered from a serious bleeding event,
call 1-800-222-3803.
Xarelto and Pradaxa have been linked to serious internal bleeding, stroke, and death.
Call 1-800-222-3803.
You may be entitled to compensation. Call now for a free consultation.
If it's possible to be famous and yet not really well known, that describes the father who raised me. My father not only has the strength and ability necessary to be our next president, but also the kindness and the greatness of heart that will enable him to be the leader that this country needs. My father wants all Americans to succeed. No one has more faith in the American people than my father. He will fight for you all the time, every time.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're joined by our Power Pundit panel and two of my favorite people. Marsha Burke-Bigler, the Washoe County Commissioner, is here, and Joel Dremy, former Nevada Democratic Party Chair. Pleasure to have you both here. We're taping this Thursday morning, the 3rd, and we're airing it the day before the election. Your thoughts on where we are so far? Let's start out with the presidential election.
Well, I think it's much closer than anybody thought it was going to be. For whatever reason, who knows? Maybe it's because of what the FBI did. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just because people are you know, stepping out and making a difference. It's fascinating to me how many people are voting. And I wonder if it's the same way across the country. I'm hearing it is. But in Washoe County, it's just amazing. The last day of registration, we had all day long, there were people standing in line outside the door to register before the door was even open. And the whole day, the place was just packed. And it's an interesting cross-section. Not at all races, all ages, professional dressing, casual dressing, you know, cut-off dressing. All kinds of people are getting out to vote. And so I don't think anybody really has a strong feel for how this election is going to go. At one time, everybody said it's going to be a landslide, either a landslide to the one side or a landslide to the other side. But I don't know that that's going to happen in the presidential election now. The real question is, who's going to come? Who are those people voting for that are coming out?
And these are the undecided.
Yeah.
Well, Sam, I saw that down in Douglas when I went to early vote. But I want to say something. You know, 2 years ago, I feel like I'm living in a bad dream or a dark fantasy. 2 years ago, if anybody had told me that the candidate of one of the major political parties running for president and running close, we don't know how it's going to turn out, would be somebody with the moral sensibilities of a sea slug, somebody who brags about sexually assaulting women, somebody who is a shallow, narcissistic, megalomaniac bloviator, who insults the handicapped, and has this record of dishonesty and stiffing people that worked for him and so forth. I would have said no, not in America. We're better than that. So I think for a lot of us, we're taking stock. Maybe we're not better than that. How could that have happened in America? And I want to tell you, as somebody who spends some time overseas internationally, people are shocked at this.
They are.
Absolutely shocked and scared to death.
So how do you respond, Marsha?
Well, my response would be, I think it's very disingenuous to include to simply say one of these candidates has an honesty problem, because Hillary Clinton is notoriously known for having an honesty problem. If any one of us had done some of the things that she's done, we would be in prison, and she should be also. I'm sorry, I just can't accept. I want a woman president. I think that we are doing much better at the county and the city level because we have women running the show. I want a woman president, but I don't want her.
I think it's totally false equivalency to point just to honesty. I'm talking about morality and decency, and things that are so extreme in terms of what we would have thought would be a bottom requirement in character for a presidential candidate. That's what I'm talking about.
I completely agree with that.
Morality and character.
It is.
To brag about sexually assaulting women, and that is the presidential candidate, one of the parties.
And to not
that
care.
That is shocking.
To not care about our military and our ambassadors, and then after they don't go to help them, and after they die, to say, what difference does it make now? It makes a lot of difference to their families. That's what difference it makes. There is a severe lack of concern for the American people, the American soldiers, the American taxpayers on the part of the Democrat candidate. I'm sorry, there just is. And is Trump my first choice? Absolutely not. But Trump didn't become a billionaire by, screwing this country over. And he is a good businessman. He has a good level business head. I can't see anything Hillary has done for this country. Jill?
Well, I mean, you look at that business record. I think you'd hardly say he's a good businessman. He had a lot of money to start with. And if you look at the number of bankruptcies and the number of people he's stiffed, and I mean, I think it's really shocking. On the other hand, we have somebody, and we're talking about competency for the office, who has a track record, who served 8 years in the U.S. Senate and was given high marks by people on both sides of the aisle, has been a Secretary of State, was regarded as a woman of the highest standing among people of the world, as a matter of fact. That, and then we're talking about somebody whose track record is so morally deplorable that it's rather shocking that that's what the choice is.
10 seconds.
I just, you know, I can't repeat enough how I don't believe the country, the whole world is admiring her. We are a laughingstock in America, I mean in the world today. America is no longer great.
Only seconds. Because of Donald Trump are we the laughingstock.
No, because of the current president.
I've listened to people talking about Donald Trump as a possible president internationally, and they are shocked and horrified. They thought, this is not the America we thought we knew.
I think we have the beginnings of a new program on this station. You guys are hired. We'll be right back. Thank you both.
Thank you.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
In times of crisis, America depends on steady leadership.
Knock the crap out of them, would you? Seriously.
Clear thinking.
I know more about ISIS than the generals do, believe me.
And calm judgment.
And you can tell them to go themselves.
Because all it takes is one wrong move.
I would bomb the out of them.
Just one.
Telephone companies have complicated deals with contracts and hidden fees. But with Spectrum Internet, we make it simple and affordable at $29.99 a month when bundled. And there's no contract.
No contract at all with Spectrum.
Finally.
Spectrum Internet is the fastest you can get. At 20 times the speed of DSL, you'll easily have enough bandwidth for all your devices.
Our phones, tablets, all connected. And it's fast.
No slowdowns, no data caps. Everything is perfect.
With Spectrum Internet, I'm getting more for my money.
Get Spectrum Internet for $29.99 a month. Call 844-883-2999. With Spectrum TV, you get free HD, and all your primetime shows are free on demand.
We can always watch what we want, when we want it.
And Spectrum Voice is simply superior with no added taxes or fees.
And the bundle dropped our bill in half.
Get Spectrum Internet, TV, and Voice. Just $29.99 a month each with no contracts. Call 844-883-2999.
Catherine Cortez Masto's negligence left thousands of rape kits untested and rapists on the street.
In other states, they've convicted hundreds of rapists by testing these kits. But Catherine Cortez Masto failed to act.
And when she did act, Cortez Masto voted to allow murderers out of jail early. She even pardoned domestic violence abusers. Don't let Harry Reid force another political failure on Nevada. Senate Leadership Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
On our next broadcast, we're talking pundits. We'll see you then. Thanks for watching and listening.